Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission. Live from Trackside, this is IMSA Radio.
Everybody, and welcome along to our continuing coverage of one of the most exciting race series anywhere in the world. We've had brilliant entertainment this year in 2021 from the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup. Don't expect anything different. We're on the 4-mile track at America's National Park of Speed, Road America, and the race is next.
The Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich on IMSA Radio.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Idemitsu MX-5 Cup as we are at America's National Park of Speed. Coming to the green flag now. Did the green flag get thrown there? I don't think it did, as we've got a number of people still holding line there. I saw the green flag in hand. Well, it looks like we are racing. Coming down towards turn number three. The car's going out a little earlier than we were expecting. 45 minutes on the clock. And down underneath the Sargento Bridge. And it's Selena Rolland who leads from second place. It was Gresham Wagner who was on pole position for Spark Performance, with Aaron Johnson and Sam Paley sitting in behind. And the race is underway, confirmed from race control. So the drivers knew what was going on. Here in the Global Broadcast Centre, it's John Hindhoff. And from IMSA Radio, my colleague, Shea Adam, also part of our team at Radio Le Mans around the world. So IMSA getting this one underway just a tiny bit earlier, about 5 minutes earlier than we were expecting, Shea. But the drivers were ready, and already the battle's beginning to take shape.
Yeah, up and down the field, a lot of passing taking place as our pole sitter, who is Gresham Wagner, getting 10 additional points for that pole position by dint of fastest lap in yesterday's race, has already been overtaken by yesterday's race winner. That's Celine Roland, the only driver in this field to know what it's like to win at Road America, having accrued his second one yesterday. But Wagner is still holding on close to that second place. And in third, yesterday's superstar, Sam Paley, is maintaining the front pack. Yesterday, the front pack got away a little bit, but today it is a breakaway for three cars instead of nine.
Yeah, Celine Roland looking to do the double this weekend in the Autism Speaks multicoloured jigsaw car, as they come round to complete the first racing lap, with Gresham Wagner sitting as close as he dare at the moment. And then right in behind there, the first of the black cars is Sam Paley. Down in seventh, the second black car, the number 11, is Andrew Carbonell, who started in fifth position. So he's lost a couple of positions for the Hixon Motorsport team. But the top three are absolutely together across the line. And there's some nose-to-tail contact between second and first there, with Paley, first of the rookies, in the black McCombie McAleer racing car, sitting in third. Then a wee bit of a gap to Chris Nunes, second in the rookie standings in this race. Came into the weekend leading the championship for rookies. That's the JTR Motorsport red car with the white stripe down the middle. Aaron Johnson with Prevision Motorsport, as we've got a full course yellow, has got his right, in fact he's got his four-way flashes on. And everybody lifting off now as they go under the Sargento Cheese Bridge. So there is an incident out on the corner, and it was at turn number 12, and the car that has gone off is the number 82. That's Woody Hyman for JTR Motorsport. Shea Adam.
He is out of the car. That is the good news. No, the safety officials are there talking to him. Sorry, I got a bit of bad information there. But he is talking to the safety officials, Woody Hyman, who actually joined the series with JTR Motorsport, a team usually running two cars. They've upped it to four this weekend. And Jared Thomas, the JT in JTR, is not actually racing today. He had an engine issue yesterday. They did put a new one in the car, but then elected to focus on the other three cars in the race. Woody Hyman being one of those, will not be participating any further, it looks like. Peter Atwater, another one of the drivers in the field, who was unable to participate in the race yesterday. He had to fly back to his home in Colorado for a bit of business. He's in the race today, currently sitting in 15th. And then the aforementioned Chris Noon, sitting in fourth place, second in the rookie championship, as you mentioned, John. But after yesterday, 30 points are all that separate Sam Paley and Chris Noons. This rookie championship very much still alive, and you would hope so, with $80,000 on the line, both guys fighting pretty hard for it.
So second race of the weekend. Shea did the arithmetic. I won't say maths, because it wasn't as if it was quadratic equations. As they came into the weekend, it was Michael Carter for Carter Racing Enterprises who was leading. Now, he looked at one stage yesterday as if he wasn't going to get a good points haul, but he's hauled himself back towards the sharp end of the field. Céline Roland took the victory. How did it stand as we came into this race with 45 on the clock as we went green?
Well, the official points don't count to the pole position until the green flag is taken, meaning that Gresham Wagner now has a 20-point lead over Michael Carter, 2,750 to 2,730. In third is Céline Roland, clawed back a whole lot of points yesterday in terms of this championship, 2,570. So now he's 180, 170 points off the lead. That is definitely doable, given that there are, including this race, five left in the season. In fourth place, it is Chris Noons leading the rookie championship, and fifth, Sam Paley. Now, keep in mind, this championship, $250,000 for the overall winner, but the points pay all the way down to 10th. So even if you get the rookie championship $80,000, you can still get more money from finishing in the top 10 of the championship as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah, of course. Good point. Good point. Safety car is rolling at the exit of the pit lane, and it'll be Céline Roland who sees it first and drops in behind. Now, what I can't tell you at the moment is whether Woody Hyman was pushed or he jumped. Good news is he is out of the car and talking with the AMR IMSA safety crew down at Canada Corner. And that is why we have the full course yellow. And already our hard-working track surfaces team are getting the blue and white Mazda on the rollback. Good opportunity for me to mention all of our volunteers, whether they are track workers, flag marshals, or working as safety, medical, track services, recovery. Sadly, we lost one of our Orange Army in the UK at a Brands Hatch meeting a couple of weekends ago. Just reminding us that these volunteers do extremely important and also extremely dangerous work. And thanks go to everyone who turns out to allow us to indulge ourselves and enjoy motor racing, because quite simply, without the marshals, we can't. Robert Foote was the man who tragically lost his life at Brands Hatch in the UK. And we send condolences to his family and to the greater family of marshals all the way around the world who turn out so that we can enjoy our favourite sport. Just under 37 minutes to go, and we have a neutralised race at the moment with Céline Roland and Gresham Wagner first and second. They are third and first in the championship as it stands right now. Michael Carter in second place, down in sixth position in this race. So all to play for at the front of the championship. Shea Adam and John Hindhoff in the Global Broadcast Centre. Thanks for joining us wherever you are in the world. And I know there are many of you tuning in from Europe, from the UK, from further afield for this wonderful form of racing. I suggested in yesterday's race that if we were going to have Olympic motorsport, that Mazda MX-5 could be it. And that went down very well indeed. Just imagine it. Racing for gold, silver and bronze with your national colours on the car. I'm building this up now. I think we really kind of have to do this. The safety car lights are out with just on 35 and a half minutes to go. It'll be just under 35 minutes by the time we climb the hill, having come round the final right-hander at turn 14 here at Road America. And race two will be back underway for the Idemitsu MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich Tyres. Safety car in the pit lane. And our leader, Celine Roland, then, for Hixon Motorsports, will take the green flag. Does so now, right up his tailpipes. In fact, just a little love tap on the back of that multicoloured car by the second place red, white and black number 5. Spark Performance, Gresham Wagner, just having to tap the brake lights as he comes down into turn one. All kinds of mayhem going on further down. David Stab in the blue car with the yellow wheels in 10th position, with David Williams and Jensen Altman, Moshe Oreski all around that sort of area as well. Right in behind him is Luke Amars. So Stab has got through there, went and restarted in 10th, and Luke Amars in the bright orange and white Copeland Motorsport car has just been displaced from 9th position, just pulls out from behind the blue car under the bridge on the run down to turn 5. That's the battle for 9th and 10th position. That 8th and 9th, actually, I think that's Justin Piscatel, isn't it, with the blue, the first of the blue cars. The McCombie Bagley, because he's got the different coloured roll hoop and the yellow wheels on there. So that was 8th and 9th, my apologies. Off the road, the 24 is Aaron Jensen for provision. The usual hectic restart, but once again, Shea Adam, the top 5, almost the top 6 breaking away. And here's that battle we were talking about. Indeed it was Piscatel in the 89. And right in there now, Jensen in the 24, the red car, the darker red car. Because of that little mistake, one tiny mistake, and he's immediately here in the clutches of Luke Amars and Justin Piscatel, with Stab in behind him in the second of the blue cars. I knew that David was in there somewhere.
Especially costly for Johnson, because this weekend, running without a wingman, no Drake Kemper in this race as he still continues to recover from a nasty bout with COVID-19. So the 99 not out and running this weekend, meaning that the 24, in order to work his way back up the field to try and resume that battle he was having with Andrew Carbonell, no contact between those two cars, just Johnson running out of room on that one. It's made especially more difficult because this is a place where drafting helps. And when you don't have your dancing partner, ooh, it can be very difficult to get to the front.
It is the top 5 who have broken away. Sixth place at the moment is the number 11, who was involved in that little incident at turn 6. Andrew Carbonell in the black Hixon Motorsport car. Now, he was wingman yesterday for the man who was leading as he crossed the line. But no, in fact, it was Wagner who was leading. He did drag by and leading up the hill, turns into third at turn 1 for the 87, the multicoloured car. Now in third position, Wagner leads in the red, white and black car. Second is Sam Paley. Third, Celine Roland pulling out a line to try and have a look down the inside at turn 3. Can't make that one work from that far back. The red and white car then is Chris Noones for JTR, and Michael Carter with the white middle on his car, the red top and the black bottom. Most people go front to back if they're going to have different colours. Michael Carter Enterprises, Michael Carter Racing Enterprises, just a little bit different. They go top to bottom. Almost 3 wide, coming into the braking area down at turn 5. Wagner from the middle of the road, defending, gets a little tap from behind, round the outside. Roland uses all of the curbing on the exit. Looks like he's dragged back into second place at the moment. Yes, Paley in the black car has to drop back to third. Then it's Noones, then it's Carter. Second in the championship, for Carter at the moment. 20 points only adrift, though, from the man who is leading the race at the moment. And remember, there is 10 points for the fastest lap of the race. There are also, Shea Adam, points up for grabs for leading the most laps in the race.
Which is why Gresham Wagner was pushing so hard to get to the front of the field. But Celine Rolland around the outside going through the carousel. Can he make it stick? He can. He's back in the lead. The 87, which lost the lead at the start-finish line, is now ahead. And if I'm Gresham Wagner, I'm starting to get a little bit nervous about the fact that Michael Carter is on the back of this train. Yesterday, he had to do a lot of work to get up through the field. He actually earned the Hard Charger Award for passing the most cars. In today's race, he's only got four cars to pass until he's in the lead.
And he's got the fastest lap of the race with a 2:33.5. Sitting in fourth in that train. Check that, fifth in that train, because it is now a six-car battle. Great running from Andrew Carbonell. He might well nick the fastest lap when we come round to the stripe the next time around, because he has gained on that leading quintet. And now it's the dirty half dozen at the front of the field, and they are kicking up a lot of dust. They're using all of the Road America circuit and a wee bit more, half an hour to go. And hearing that we've got the slipstream number 12 car off again, the gold car had a problem yesterday, and down at, well, it's going to be a full course yellow. It's Canada Corner again. Now, are there any passes made before the full course yellow comes out? I can see the flags now under the Arians Bridge. Used to be the Briggs and Stratton Bridge, didn't it, all those years ago? That's the first time for many years that it hasn't been that. So, new sponsor, welcome them to Road America. So, once again, that top six will ease their pace. Pretty certain, Shea, that is for the number 12 car. Yeah, the gold, black and red, yeah. Confirmed now. And is that down at... Well, I thought that
it's at seven.
Oh, okay, sorry. I thought it was further around than that. My apologies.
He's taking a day at the beach, off in the sand at turn seven. And I do have reports from people in the know that there was no contact, no foul play. Race control will not need to look at this further. It was Mike going off on his own. He was the last car to finish yesterday, John. As a matter of fact, we had four cars fail to see the checkered flag. Mike Loeb did, though, make it to the checkered flag. Hopefully they can get him dragged out and get him back running quickly so we can get back to some green flag racing. Before we got to that yellow, though, did you notice there was a black car on the end of that lead train? Andrew Carbonell had dragged himself up into contention. Yesterday, he played wingman. He did a great job defending for Celine Rolland, his teammate. He had slight contact with another car, and it knocked his toe out of line, was what he reported after the race. His steering wheel very much pointed to the left when going in a straight line.
Yeah. Just let's just pick up on a couple of things. There are some faster guys to come through the field here, because there were a few guys at the back of the field who had engine changes and therefore were dumped back down the field. I've also noticed that Hernan Palermo, who qualified on the front row yesterday for slipstream, he's in the pits at the moment, so he's had an incident as well.
Yeah, he pulled into the pit lane when we were actually under that full course caution. Have yet to get an answer as to why he is in there. But yes, we had four cars yesterday unable to finish the race. Jared Thomas, with what looked like a pretty catastrophic failure coming up the hill, managed to pull into the pit lane and then call it a day. The team fixed the car, but elected to focus on their other three cars in today's race instead of sending Jared out, which is really a shame because he came into today's race 10th in the championships, so that still would have been a check at the end of the year had he been able to hold on to that position. The other cars that got engine changes, the number three, Alex Bashura, for slipstream performance, and I believe it was the 31, John Jodwain, from McCombie McAleer Racing. Both of those cars had issues during the course of yesterday's race and pulled off at the cutout just at the exit of turn five, so very heads-up driving from those guys. Jodwain is currently in 13th position, whereas Bachura is down in 19th.
Wherever you are in the world, thanks for being with us. Should mention, extremely unusual to have mechanical issues on these Masters, and I think that's the first time I've seen an issue in a race The engines are stock, they are sealed so that you can't mess about with them. Over 250 other parts are racing specific on these cars. They're pretty much stripped down to the bare shell before they're turned into racing cars. They do come into the States as a standard 2-litre, 4-cylinder street car. And then the guys at Fliss, the brothers Fliss, take them apart and put them back together again. I'm sure they have some help. It's not as if it's only those two. But Racing Gearbox Sequential, the latest Multimatic racing suspension, racing wheels and tyres, of course, with the BF Goodrich rubber on them. And then the full FIA specification roll cage, fire suppression systems, harnesses, seats, etc. Double door bars, so you can put somebody in for a passenger ride. And in fact, there's a window, or at least driver net, either side of the driver as well. Very safe racing cars, but racing cars, absolutely. Hello to the Netherlands and to Koza Jims, who's starting off an afternoon and evening of racing over there in Europe. Coming up to 6 o'clock Central European summertime there, enjoying the IMSA footage and the Idemitsu MX-5 Cup. Wicker Bill settling back, watching as well at IMSA Radio, at Mazda MX-5 Cup, of course, to follow on Twitter for everything Idemitsu MX-5 Cup. This is the second of two races over the weekend. And at the moment, Céline Roland holding the advantage behind the safety car, where I think the lights have just gone out. Yes, it has. So we will be racing halfway around the lap, just coming through the carousel. So here's how they'll restart. 87, the jigsaw multicoloured Hixon Motorsports car will come to the line and see the green flag at the top of the hill first. Then Gresham Wagner for Spark Performance in the red, white and black number 5. Sam Pirley is the all-black number 28 from Macumbi McAleer Racing. JTR Motorsport Engineering, the mostly red car with the white stripe down the middle of the car, from the bonnet to the boot, the hood to the trunk. That's the 32 in fourth. Michael Carter, red on the top, white in the middle, black on the bottom. Carter Racing Enterprises 08. Andrew Carbonell, another all-black car, the number 11 for Hixon Motorsports in sixth. Now, right up with that top six now, Luca Mars in the bright orange and white Copeland Motorsport number 41, along with Aaron Johnson, who went wide at turn six, remember, and lost all that ground. Well, that dark soul red crystal, number 24 from Provision Motorsport, now in eighth, but back in contact with the leaders ahead of the blue car of David Staub for Slipstream, and then Jensen Altman in 10th, and Justin Piscatell in the other blue car with the yellow wheels has dropped down to 11th. That's how they will restart, as the safety car is in the pit lane. And once again, Céline Roland winds up the pace as they head up the exceptionally steep hill. The 2-litre engines, the 4-cylinder engines, using every one of the 180 horsepower, and the two leaders have broken away just a little bit. But here comes Sam Pirley leading a huge group of cars as they've all been brought together with 23 minutes to go. Down the inside, Pirley got a heck of a tour there and goes from third to first. Now, can he keep it on the island? Coming out of turn one, he can. Wonderful manoeuvre. Must have come to turn one fully 3, 4, maybe even 5 or 6 miles an hour quicker than the two cars ahead. Got the triple tour and goes in the lead. Magnificent restart here, Adam, by Sam Pirley in his charge for not just the rookie championship, but the overall championship as well.
Pirley is driving something special lately. The Macumbi McAleer driver, who was actually led to this team by his good relationship with the team owners, Chad and Steven. He's a business school student in normal life. He is driving with that calculated energy that you see from businessmen all around the world. And right now, all he's thinking is points, points, win, win. Points, points, win, win.
And what a points make at the end of the season. Well, normally we say prizes, but in this case, it's dollars, real dollars. Over half a million of them up for grabs throughout the various awards for overall, for rookie, and for improving drivers throughout the season. Down into turn eight, Piscatel in the number 89, that's the blue car with the yellow stripe down the side, trying to make up positions. And Fernandez is way back. In fact, I don't think Herman and Palermo hasn't come back out the pits, in fact. So that whatever that problem is from earlier on, he is not going to score points. He'll be disappointed in such a good position yesterday on outside pole and has not been able to turn his season around with a couple of decent results. So Roland in second place at Canada Corner. Just backs off the rear of the Mazda of Sam Paley ahead of him to give himself a better run as he comes up to turn 14. Now he closed right up again. The Mazda's absorbing the bumps with that Multimatic suspension as they go over the tunnel and head into turn 14. Great run off the corner by both of the leading cars. They've broken away for a moment, but it's Michael Carter now, Shea, who's into third position. He knows how to work the traffic, and he's dragging Gresham Wagner and Chris Nunes with him. So the black car leads from the multicolour car in second, from the red, white and black car in third, from the red front, white, middle and black car in fourth, and then the all red car with the white bonnet stripe is in fifth position. And as soon as I've said that, it changes as Carter goes through into second place. Another great drafting manoeuvre, but Celine Roland comes down the hill to turn three. This is a more difficult one to pull off. Downhill braking, always a bit sketchy. They'll go side by side through turn three. They're still side by side as they start to climb through the kink at turn four. Gresham Wagner has to pick one of those guys to follow through. He might be able to push himself and that car through into a better position. He's managed to push. It looks like he's managed to push Michael Carter through to challenge for the lead. He has done. Carter up on the outside of the black car of Sam Paley down into turn five, but won't make that stick surely round the outside. He traces a very wide arc indeed, and here comes Wagner down the inside. So he might yet end up in second position, and does at turn six. This, remember, all started at turn three. We're now at turn seven, and Michael Carter refuses to give up that second position. Here comes Paley now leading it still from now in second. It is an established in second. Michael Carter, what a half a lap as Wagner goes back into third. And, well, quite frankly, Celine Roland had a grandstand seat for that. Finds himself now in fourth position. Half a lap of battling between those five cars, Shea, Adam. That is Idemitsu MX5 racing at its best.
That phenomenal run from Michael Carter actually began back on turn 13 the lap before.
Good
he got
point.
A great run out past Gresham Wagner in such a manner that I'm sorry that I actually said wow out loud, because it was such a maneuver that was unexpected. He went from fifth to third, and then from third to almost the lead of the race in that one half lap. Celine Roland not yet giving up, as he knows he needs to get ahead of both Wagner and Carter in order to claw back championship standing positions. And that car, that black number 11, clawing its way up through the field is Andrew Carbonell. He'll be able to help Roland. Right now, Sam Paley for McCombie McAleer Racing leading the way, leading a lap. That steals away the potential for Roland, Carter, or Wagner to get that lap led to try and get those 10 bonus points.
Remember, I said that Aaron Johnson would have been happy to see the safety car. Well, he's made the best of that. He's already up into sixth. He restarted in eighth or ninth. He'd gone wide and lost positions. He's the all dark red car just towards the back of that leading group. He's got the red and white car ahead of him of Chris Nunes, and he's trying to hunt him down. Carbonell has been dealt with. He's down to seventh. Then there's a wee gap back to the very distinctive quartered colours of the Copeland Motorsport car in the bright orange. It really is highlighter orange. That's Luca Mars. Once again, Jensen Altman racing his way through into a top 10 position at the moment for another McCombie McAleer Racing Mazda. He's right in there as well. Trust me, he is. He's in the lighter car. You can't see him at the moment behind Luca Mars as the leaders come down to turn five. And here's Johnson down the inside, and Nunes goes wide in the red and white car. The white stripe down the middle of the car. Easy to pick that one out, and he's lost two positions in the blink of an eye. But that started with a long run from turn three all the way to turn five, and an overtaking manoeuvre by Aaron Johnson, and he is really benefiting after the restart. This is a great run from the number 24 car.
Once again, we have a top nine breakaway as Moise Uretsky has a brief off-track moment. I'm coming back, clear car number 55. He is able to resume, though. The top nine are all together. You could almost cover them with a blanket. And you're right, Johnson seems to have found a little bit more rhythm. He is backing off a tiny bit from Gresham Wagner, just losing touch with that top five group. But it won't be long before he gets back up to them. And then we'll have a six-car battle for the lead of the race. Make it seven. Make it eight. Let's just make it nine.
Yeah, I think Luke Mars and Jensen Altman will be there. In the blink of an eye, because these guys are fighting very hard. In fact, they're almost there now. There's only about five or six cars lengths. This has been a good run by Sam Paley. He's led the last couple or three laps and really hasn't been under that much pressure from Celine Roland, who's now, well, dare I say, he's established himself back into second. I'm not sure. He had to take it away from Michael Carter, who was in second last time around. Gresham Wagner. These guys know each other very well. They trust each other. It's clean, close racing. It's respectful racing. And this time, it looks like Roland has got the run and he's getting an aero push from the 08 of Michael Carter. Got an actual push there as he crossed the stripe. Wagner goes through as well. And from leading up the hill and a tiny mistake coming out the final corner at turn 14, Sam Paley, curse of the commentator there, I said he led the last couple of laps. He's down in fifth position by turn one. 15 minutes to go. The leader at the moment is Celine Roland. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Mazdas in a line down to Chris Nunes with Luca Mars and Jensen Altman not that far behind to make it nine cars. The winner could be any one of those or none at all.
Yeah, and Emmy, Ella, and Efren will be happy that the puzzle piece car is back into the lead of this race for Autism Speaks with Celine Roland, but not for long as Michael Carter makes a dive down the inside at turn five, late on the brakes. Can he make it stick? Yes, he can, but that means Gresham Wagner, still in third, is now going to have an opportunity to look at Roland. Top three in the championship are 1, 2, 3 on the track, but that fourth place is now once again Aaron Johnson, who has had a busy couple of weeks. He ran here in a spec Miata race a couple weeks ago, and he had a bit of fun, but he managed to learn what the car acts like around the track when he gets here. It's clearly paying off. He's fought his way back up very nicely.
Extraordinary pass for the lead there by Michael Carter with the left-hand side BF Goodrich tyres not on the track. They were on the grass. Don't worry about track limits here. There is no worries at that point because there's a line and then there's grass. That was, for the lead, a pass on the grass going down to turn five. And now it is Carter that leads through the kink once more. Spin towards the back of the grid. That's Savannah Little for Hixon Motorsports. The number 63 car looks like there was no damage to that machine. The driver from El Dorado Hills, California, supported by VP Racing Fuels, will get that car back pointing in the right direction. And the driver who has suffered this lap around, it seems everybody has to take a bit of pain, is Celine Roland, now in third position after taking the lead last time around. There's contact! And that is Carbonell, the 11 car up in the air. Damage to the right front, I think, could well be some kind of steering damage. Well, it's still moving, but worse than that, he's in the beach at turn 14. Car off the ground. Yes, these are closed wheel cars, but you do get the bottom of the BF Goodrich wheels and tyres, or the tyres should I say, sticking out because of the camber, because of the angle of the suspension. Looked like side by side contact that pitched that car up in the air. Carbonell stays in the machine. We're still under green at the moment. I don't think he's going to be able to drive out of there. There has been some rain over the last couple of days, but I think he's gone too far sideways and he's bogged down. But we are still racing at the moment, so make a pass now, guys, if you can. We've seen racers won just before The yellow lights have come on. Here comes Carter doing exactly that. Round the outside at turn five. You have got to be joking. Two of the best passes I've ever seen at turn five, both by Michael Carter. One down the inside on the grass, one round the outside, both of them for the lead on consecutive laps. Extraordinary stuff. Brilliant driving. Brilliant stuff. Now, let's try and untangle what happened with Carbonell. I turned in and hit the back of Chris Noon's car and rode up the back. The BF Goodrich tyre giving him, actually, I think, more grip than he expected. Rode up the rear bumper of that car, and the yellow is out. Carbonell, I'm hearing from race control, has resumed. I can't imagine that, as the leaders are coming through the carousel. I can't believe he's got that car out of there, and if he has, I'll be very surprised. But we have gone to full course yellow. No, that's a glitch on the information screen. The Hixon Motorsport car with the rivet look on the car, on the flat black panels that livery is showing us, still beached, high centred in the gravel area to driver's left. But what a couple of passes, Shea Adam, by Michael Carter to take the lead, not once or twice. And how unlucky for Carbonell. That was literally a couple of inches. That was all, that he was slightly offline, just caught the back of Noon's car, and that's what pitched him up in the air. From then on, he's a passenger.
I think it was actually Johnson's car that nicked the back of. Yeah, I would need to see the cars in order to have a better indication
thought
of that.
I saw
but
the
I think
white
it was the
stripe.
24. Yeah. But for Andrew Carbonell, what a testament to the effectiveness of gravel, that he had much speed. And no wheels on the ground meant nothing was slowing him down. The gravel did exactly what it needed to do. And yeah, he's stuck there. It looks like the gravel's actually up to the bottom of the car. So he's in effect high-sided in a sense. But yes, full course caution is out. 9 minutes and 40 seconds left on the clock. If we can get this cleaned up pretty quickly, we can get back to the very least a green-white checkered.
I love the ejector seat danger signs on that. It's all done up like a fighter jet, that car, with the exposed rivets, because they're just on vinyl. I think that if that car hasn't broken suspension or a front steering arm, it might flat toe from there, in which case it's a short run back to the pits for the IMSA AMR safety team and for Andrew Carbonell. Yeah. He has lost a little bit of bodywork, but that is the least of his worries at the moment. Just a bit of the aero underneath the front end of the car. And guess what? Already the safety workers are there. They're already getting the tow strap on. And they're going to use the big yellow Gale snatch tractor just to lift the front end of that car up and get that car out. All-wheel drive, of course. That can drive across the gravel, which is a little more difficult for some of our other vehicles. And with the big,
I am hearing from the team, John, that if Carbonell can be removed from the gravel, he'll just drive into the pit lane and then retire. They have just as well lost Savannah Little, who was the Women in Motorsport Scholarship winner for 2021, $75,000 for her, by the way. But she has retired due to damage sustained in that spin. Okay. So she is also listed in the pit lane now.
Super bit of recovery using the extended arm of the snatch vehicle. That is very, very cool indeed, to get that car out without having to put a vehicle on the track side of Andrew Carbonell's Hixon Motorsport Mazda. That's very clever. Now, can he get the 2-litre engine fired up and out of the way? We're coming down to 7.5 minutes. Excellent work by the track crew. Going to be a bit of gravel left on the exit at turn 14. But I hear the unmistakable sound of a four-cylinder Mazda 2-litre engine firing up and heading into the pit lane now. So Carbonell is clear. So as soon as we can get the course vehicle out of the way, we can go back to green. Carbonell in the pit lane. The safety car lights are still on at the moment. just a little bit too late. I think we might have to do one more lap of green. Just didn't quite get around that. The safety car lights normally go out at the carousel. I think we could probably still start from
there
here.
Out.
Safety car lights have gone out. Brilliant work. Brilliant work by Race Control. They'll have told all the teams. The cars do have radios in them as well. So the teams will have told their drivers. The drivers at the front will know that there's going to be about 6 minutes. Call that about four laps of racing to go. They form up behind Michael Carter, who came into this weekend leading the 2021 Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup presented by BF Goodrich Tyres. He's found himself now 20 points behind as he started this race some 39 minutes ago, behind the car that's behind him. So that is the championship battle right at the front of this field. Coming down to 6 minutes to go. Shea Adam and John Hindhoff in the Global Broadcast Centre and green flag at Road America. Who gets the drag? Front two pull away in the early part of the straight, but we've seen this before. Sam Pearley in third place in the black number 28 has got a good run. Can he go down the inside? Céline Roland in the Autism Speaks jigsaw puzzle coloured car in fourth position. And then it is Janson. Jensen Altman up to sixth position for McCombie McAleer Racing as he crossed the line in the number 13 car. That's the light coloured, almost white car ahead of the Chris Noons red and white machine. Then Luca Mars, David Staub inside the top 10 for Slipstream, Justin Piscatel fighting his way back, and Jean Jourdan in 11th position in the 13. McCombie McAleer Racing peppering the top positions here, but not yet on the top step of the podium. Sam Pearley, the best of them, the second of the two black cars, in third position at the moment, up towards the Corvette Bridge. That's turn five, 5 minutes to go. Now, can Michael Carter withstand the pressure? He's cutting the hole in the air. At this part of the track, he has a wee bit of an advantage. He sees the corner first. He gets to pick his line as he comes into the carousel, turn number nine. But then it's flat out from the exit of this corner all the way to the braking area for Canada Corner. And that is where he has the aerodynamic disadvantage. The air's pushing on the front of his car. It's not on the front of Gresham Wagner's, the five car sitting behind. In fact, Wagner is in an area of low pressure behind that leading car, so he's almost been dragged along in the vacuum that the car in front is making. Times that a little bit more for the third car, times that a little bit more for the fourth car, and Pearley just pulled out a third there to see if he could get a run into Canada Corner. Thinks better of it. Top five, just with a tiny advantage before Jensen Altman, who is heading towards a phenomenal finish here. He has finished in the top 10 before, but this would be a very good finish for him if he can keep that white car in contention. 3.5 minutes to go. Ah, the 26 car has gone around. That's Peter Atwater in the JTR Motorsports car, the bright green machine. Now, that was at Canada Corner. Can he get that car going again as the leaders are across the line? In the sunshine at Road America, down the inside. Carter goes defensively into turn one, round the long way. Here comes Gresham Wagner. He can't. He can't pull that off. No, he absolutely can't. He goes off the track and is gently told to steer to the far side. He's going to slightly have been hung out there and will drop a couple of positions. Certainly has dropped one. Pearley now for McCombie McAleer Racing. He takes up the baton in second place and attacks the leader. Michael Carter, all cool, all calm, all collected, at least from this distance, inside the helmet. He'll be looking for his braking point, looking for where Sam Pearley and the black car might make an attack. He's really strong on the brakes. Carter down into five. He's made two outstanding overtaking manoeuvres there. Here comes Aaron Johnson as well, fighting back. He's in fifth in the red car, having a look at the multicoloured car in fourth. That's Céline Roland ahead of him. Then Gresham Wagner. Then Sam Pearley in the second place car, but still with the red boot, the red boot and bonnet, the red hood and trunk. It's the 08. Michael Carter, can he wrest back his championship lead? If he gets through this, he could just about do it with the points that he's got for this victory. Got the fastest lap of the race as well, Shea. So that's points in the bank right now for Michael Carter.
It is, and 10 points going the way of Gresham Magner for the pole position earlier on. This could be 10 points for Michael Carter for the fastest lap. But Sam Paley is not done yet. He just had a hand out the window going into turn six, trying to signal to Gresham Magner, work with me. Let's try and get past him. Should be the white flag the next time they cross under the start-finish line, meaning you're almost out of opportunities to get the lead. And Paley's going for it into Canada, down the inside. Can he make it stick? Yes, he can. Michael Carter now back into second and immediately into the clutches of Gresham Wagner.
But do you want a lead going into the last lap, Shea? There's a question. Where do you want to be coming out of the final corner? We've seen positions change in the run from 14, which is where they are now. They've got just over 4 miles to come back to that point. Can you get a good enough draft to make a pass before the start finish line? It's over the top of the brow. Here they come now to start the final lap. White flag in the air. Just over 4 miles to go now as they cross the line. Sam Paley, the rookie, in the 28, leads it from Carter Wagner, Roland Janson. Altman right in there as well. In fact, Altman's got a bit of pressure from Nunes and Luca Mars. Piscatel has dropped off the back of that just a little bit in eighth. David Staub makes up the top 10. But it is definitely this top, six or seven, surely, where the podium finishers will come from. Now, what do we know about Michael Carter? We've seen him pull off two audacious overtaking manoeuvres going down into turn five. Well, Sam Paley's seen that as well. He's staying to the left-hand side of the track and blocking the inside move, but we've seen Michael go either side, and here comes Gresham Wagner. He says, I've seen Michael do it, I can do it as well. Drops in behind the leader, goes to second. Now Carter's going to have to muscle his way back up the inside, the right-hand side of the track as they go to turn number six. He's done that. This is going to slow second, third and fourth down. This could be playing into Paley's hands now as they go through turn seven. Exceptionally quick corner with just a little indentation in the middle. Paley going defensively again as he comes down through hurry downs and down towards turn number eight into the long right-handed carousel corner at turn nine for the final time. Paley, all the pressure on him now at the front of the field. Roland still in third with a little bit of a gap. Now, can he get a run now? He's got Janson right behind him, who's fought the good fight all the way through this race. Dropped way back after a little mistake at turn six himself. Maybe two more opportunities. Little dab on the brakes from Michael Carter. Paley goes to the right-hand side at Canada Corner to defend the inside of the corner. Looks like Wagner's gone wide there, and he takes a bit of the dirt as they head up towards the final opportunity. Is it now or never for Carter? You can throw one up the inside here if you're very brave indeed. Johnson's trying it from fourth position. Can't get that one done. And now the top three have got a tiny little gap, and it's the drag to the line. There's no more time. Here comes Michael Carter, flicks to the left-hand side of the track. It's side by side. We've got a three abreast finish again. It's going to be Carter. It's going to be Carter. It's Carter on the line by 0.008 of a second. This is Daytona International Speedway. This is Sebring International Raceway all over again. Another blanket finish, another Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 finish, and Michael Carter has timed it to perfection once again in the Carter Racing Enterprises 08. Sat right in behind Sam Paley coming out of 14. Paley went to the right hand side of the track, then he pulled out into the middle of the circuit. He's won it by the width of a number plate on the front. It is so close, so close. It's not even the width of a wheel with Celine Roland, by the way, all of a tenth of a second further back in third position. Your top three, ladies and gentlemen, separated by 0.11 of a second. get your phone out, put it on the stopwatch, and try and start and stop it to get 0.11 of a second. That's how close they were. That is Idemitsu MX-5 Cup Racing on the IMSA package. We knew it was going to be good around here. The long straights, the fast corners really suit these cars. Magnificent stuff. All started coming out of the final corner. The top three were together. Johnson got himself into fourth position. Carter very cleverly following Sam Pearley. Pearley sticking to the right-hand side. Then just a little flick of the steering wheel and he got the overlap. But at that point, Pearley could not move in reaction. And then it was just about momentum. Got to say that Celine Roland almost pushed Pearley back to the lead there. Yeah. He had nowhere to go. Slight frustration, I would think, from Celine Roland, because I think he got the best run of all three of them, shade to the light.
He definitely did, and he just waited a fraction of a second too long to move over behind Pearley to try and give him that little additional push. Of course, he's not chasing Pearley in the championship, so it would have helped him more if the black car had come out on top. But I'll tell you what, John, I'm going to put money on Michael Carter winning the final round of the championship right now, because he has won rounds 2, 6, and 10. Every other weekend, he wins the second race. So Michael Carter, well done, and we'll see you in victory lane at Road Atlanta, I'm sure.
But he's a master of good timing, isn't he? That second race at Daytona, he got the draft at the right time. He made the position just as the yellow flags came out in the second, in the race here. He's done exactly the same thing. He got the momentum coming out the final corner. He clearly is just reading those situations very, very well. And we're talking about fine, fine margins here, Shea, to win a race. 0.008 of a second.
This is only going to lower our average, which I didn't actually think was possible in terms of finishing gaps in the Idemitsu MX-5 Cup Championship, because 0.008, yeah, it's 8 times longer than what we had at Sebring, but it's exactly what we've come to expect. These guys are separated by the width of a piece of paper at the checkered flag.
Yeah, not even your race license was that thick. Well done, Michael Carter, and to Sam Pearley, and to Celine Roland. Those are your top three, with fantastic supporting roles played by Aaron Johnson, who comes home in fourth position for Provision Motorsports. Gresham Wagner in fifth for Spark Performance. Jensen Altman, third of the rookies, rather, for Macumbi McAleer Racing in sixth. Then Chris Nunes, who led the rookie championship, in seventh position as he goes through. Luke Mars and Jean Jourdain. And hearing that Jean Jourdain got the Hard Charger Award as well. Brilliant stuff. Another win by Michael Carter that will just about take him back to the top of the championship as we leave Road America for the 2021 Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Challenge, presented by BF Goodrich Tyres. Another MX-5 Cup win for Michael Carter. He's on top of the world and on top of the podium at Road America.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.